morning and happy Wednesday.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Were you giving us the Jim Nantz hello, friends?
Hello, friends.
That was beautiful. Coming up this morning, we'll start talking Olympics action. Of course, the opening ceremonies are, is it Friday already?
Yep. We are, Olympic season is underway. And let me tell you, I love the Olympics. I'm one of these people that's going to watch it online, on TV, everywhere.
All over the place.
And I love finding the most obscure sports, too. That's the best.
Well, and so I've actually got a couple tips on that front we'll get to later on this morning.
Cool.
But on that note, there's, of course, the discussion about different things the Olympians deal with as part of their experience. We'll get to some of those things this morning.
Yes. No, I love the behind-the-scenes look at, like, how the Olympians live and, you know, the amount of prophylactics they go through and all this stuff. It's very interesting.
It is.
It is all very interesting. A song in 60s on the way.
Yeah. Getting ready to play. You said you had a song you were working on, so
I got one ready to go.
Perfect. Yeah. So we'll play along. Tony is going to be throwing some hints our way in a couple minutes. He's gotten in the way in a little bit from Doja Cat. Luke Combs right now here in Mix Midway. Good morning. Happy Wednesday.
Mix 108. Good morning. It is the Morning Brew, and it is time to play Song in 60. I'm a little rusty.
I was going to say, it's been
a little rusty. So I got a song in my head, and I'm going to give some clues, and we'll try to figure out what that song is, and then we'll play the song. We'll all enjoy the song. It's a nice, fun, upbeat song.
So, nice.
Here we go. Song in 60 timer. Let's try to figure out the song starting right now. Southern states. Disney World.
Florida.
Yeah, okay.
I'll say Alabama's the first one that came.
Well, yeah, okay. Break It Up.
Florida.
Okay. Not a home, but a
house. Our house.
No.
Your house. My house.
My house.
Yeah. What's that house song that he does?
My house. Yes. Good job. Yes. Florida. Of course, he's going to be at Grand Casino Heatley on Friday night. So
nice.
For those, we gave some tickets away to that show. So for those who won or are getting pumped up, ready for that show on Friday night, or those who are planning on going, or those who just want to hear a good Flo Rida song.
Mix 108 Morning Brew. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Got some warmer weather ahead for this weekend. And with that, you might be thinking some ice cream sounds like a good idea.
Love me some ice cream, boy.
So I saw a story recently that posed the question, when it comes to ice cream, and is chocolate or vanilla a healthier option?
My gut reaction would say that chocolate is the least healthy option of the two.
Really? See, I would say chocolate would be the healthier of the two options.
Why would you say that?
So I always think about it from the, because I enjoy dark chocolate. I think of it as the perspective of that's not a health food, but it's a healthier sweet. Okay. But I know that not all chocolate ice cream is dark chocolate. So sure. I get that too. Yeah. Well, anyway, so there was actually an expert that was spoken to by a media outlet that reveals that, first and foremost, ice cream can be part of a healthy diet. Because, you know, it's
good to hear.
Fat and sugar and,
sure,
you know, it's not good in that, you would think in that respect. But in moderation, one of the things they highlight is that it contains a compound that actually can reduce the signs of aging, make you look and feel a little younger.
See that.
So that's some good news. So I, you know, I eat my ice cream.
Plus, I imagine if you get like better ice cream with like natural ingredients, like real strawberries or, you know, that type of thing.
And that's the eventual point they get to in the story. Oh, okay. So they talk about your quality of ice cream is going to make a big difference in terms of the level. Obviously, it's not a health food, no matter what you do, but the quality of the ingredients does make a big difference in terms of the value it has nutritionally.
Right.
But getting back to the original question, is chocolate or vanilla healthier? The expert says it's about a wash.
Okay. So that's good. That's good. It, you know, and it's not the, you know, I prefer a vanilla generally because, you know why? It's a good base. You can add a bunch of crap to it. So it's the bad stuff that I add to the vanilla ice cream that makes it, you know, the chocolate sauce, the chunky peanut butter.
And that's where the expert says, you know, obviously an ice cream, just a plain ice cream, a vanilla, a chocolate can be, I mean, it's okay. It's not terrible for you, but when you start adding,
and there's a lot
the
of like,
candy and
you know. And there's a lot of, you know, like pops that are good for you.
Sure.
You know, like a Johnny Pop is, you know, those type of things are basically just flavored water frozen, you know, that type of thing. Yeah.
So there's options to cool off and not, you know, be not feel super on an ice guilty cube. About it. Suck on an ice cube. Nothing sounds more fun than that.
Just suck on a plain ice cube.
I'll get right on that. That sounds terrible. I do know that my parents' dog loves that.
Oh, I'll throw Sunny an ice cube and she'll chomp it all
while
up.
While the regular ice cube is good, and obviously I don't know if this is recommended, but a little chunk of like a popsicle.
Oh, sure. Well, they make the dog ice cream. We get that for our dog, too.
Yeah. I need to tell my parents about that. Old Nigel would just be eating ice cream like crazy. Oh. All right. Coming up here in a little while, we're going to get to Nick's nonsense here this morning. I don't know, Life Imitating Art, part two, kind of. That's the best way I can think to let you know what's coming up in Nick's Nonsense in a little bit here on Mix It Away. Good morning. Wednesday morning edition of Nick's Nonsense.
I just had another funny thought, too, but go with the story.
So you've heard of Cocaine Bear.
Mm-hmm.
It was a couple years ago that movie came out. I've yet to watch
it. Based on a true story where some drug smugglers dropped some cocaine from an airplane, and the bear ate the cocaine and just went absolutely bonkers.
Right. So now, this is a story from the BBC, pretty legitimate news outlet, who's reporting that we now have cocaine sharks.
Bro, if there was one animal that I would not want cocaine spreading amongst, it would be sharks.
See, now I can stay out of the water to stay away from the sharks, but yeah, I feel like a shark is a more dangerous.
Have you ever seen a shark on cocaine? Maybe he could swim up the beach and get you. He doesn't care.
So, according to the story, sharks off the coast of Brazil have tested positive for cocaine, according to scientists. There's marine biologists that have been testing some sharks off the coast of Brazil, and they've found that they've pretty much all tested positive for having cocaine in their system.
Now, I think they've done the last Sharknado movie officially. I don't remember what the last one was called, but I think they said that was the last one. I honestly think they should change their mind. And the return of Cocaine Sharknado or something like that.
Oh, man.
Sharknado Scarface.
You know, you bring a good point up. Pull the dust off that franchise and bring it back.
So like they discover the sharks are freaking out at cocaine and all of a sudden the tornado forms again, but they're all sharks in a tornado, all coked up.
This sounds frightening. So they're... And maybe terrible in terms of a movie.
I don't know.
So if you're wondering how is this happening, apparently, according to experts, they're saying packs of cocaine lost or dumped by traffickers at sea are likely the source.
Man, they are having one crazy undersea party off the coast of Brazil. Got the sharks high on cocaine. Got some octopuses rolling some J's in the coral reef.
So researchers... There's a visual. Amen. Anything else you want to add to this whole scene?
I can keep going, yeah.
I'm sure. Maybe we'll just draw the line there. So yeah, researchers are actually trying to figure out how this is impacting the behaviors of sharks.
All the dolphins are on shrooms.
Sorry. My goodness. Well, we'll just have to keep an eye on what researchers end up finding out with that. But yeah, it's a heck of a scene apparently.
I hope this trend does not come to Lake Superior. We do not need like what's a big fish in Lake Superior? Well,
sturgeon for sure.
Oh yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yes.
We don't need cocaine sturgeon.
They're probably less aggressive. But still, you don't want to.
Oh, the sturgeon is.
Yeah, you don't want to amp them up though.
Well, no. That's the last thing we'd want to do.
Oh, there you go. Cocaine sturgeon. Look out, coming soon. No, all right. We're gonna see what's trending at the top here in a couple minutes. Good morning and happy Wednesday. It's a Mix It Away Morning Brew.
Live from the Mix 108 studio in downtown Duluth, this is KBMX FM, Proctor Duluth Superior, a Town Square Media station.
7:02 on a Wednesday morning. It's 57 right now. We're going to see a high today in the low to mid 70s. Plenty of sun. Very, very nice, pleasant day today. Tomorrow, around 80, sunny. Friday, low to mid 80s, sunny, a little breezier. And then... this weekend, upper 80s, maybe some low 90s across the Northland.
Brace yourself.
That's when it starts getting warm. Yep.
Really bad.
Yeah. Well, you know, and for those that enjoy the summer heat, like, let's be real. We got a couple days left. I mean,
right.
Less than a week anyway in July. So we got to embrace summer while we got it. So the
Deck announced yesterday that one of the stars of MTV's hit series Jackass is coming for a live show later this year. The Deck announced the return of Steve-O for a live show at Symphony Hall with his brand of humor, stunts, and personality. He was last year in 2022, but he will return again November 12th. It's a Tuesday night, Deck Symphony Hall. Tickets go on sale with a pre-sale starting tomorrow and general on sale on Friday. If you need more information and a pre-sale code, if you want to get your tickets a little ahead of time, you can hit up the Mix 108 app or Mix108.com. But I remember people saying good things last time he was here. So he's got his own little, you know, brand of what he does. So if you're into
his shtick,
that's for sure.
It's something. That's well, yeah. And he's a character. He's a personality. That is
yes, for sure,
undoubtedly true.
And in other news, Harbor Monsters, right? They play this weekend.
Final regular season game. They're on the road, but final regular season game.
And then they're coming back for a playoff game at the Deck, right? In a couple weeks.
I guess is it a home game? I guess I don't know.
Okay. Well, the Deck says that they are working on air conditioning problems, and because it's hot there apparently for the games. Been like really obnoxiously hot, so the Deck says they are working on trying to get a solution for that, but it's not an easy one.
Yeah, the
because there is no air in the last Deck Hall anymore.
The weekend before that, we had the heat that they had a game, and apparently it was so warm in there. So that's good that they're working on it, because if they do have a game, it must be a home game. I know that they've got a playoff game that the third, so must be at home. But yeah, that would be a good thing, because I know that a lot of folks that I talked to that were there, it's a little warm. A little warm. A
little bit.
Beer sales are probably up a little bit.
Suck it on ice.
Can I get a cup of ice, please?
Suck on some ice. Yeah. Oh
boy, well, that's good to know. All right, good morning and happy Wednesday. It's a Mix 108 morning. It's getting to be that time, Tony. Summer games getting ready to kick off later on this week. Opening ceremonies.
Yes. All Friday. The athletes are making their way to Old Perry right now.
Yeah. And so we've gotten a look at kind of some of the living conditions, some of the things going on for the athletes behind the scenes.
One of the big stories from the last Olympics was they started using these cardboard beds.
Right.
Okay, so they're basically sturdy cardboard boxes with mattresses on top of it, but a lot of the athletes, when they got there originally, were like, what is this?
Right. So there's an argument being made that, well, they get it recycled because they're sleeping, thousands and thousands of athletes. So they're, needing these for 2 weeks or so, and then they're done. And so the argument being made publicly by the organizers is, well, it's a good way to build these things and then recycle them.
Right. I think the Paris ones, they said they were built and we recycle, built out of recycled and going to be recycled again all in Paris. So it just kind of is a wash, whatever.
There's some other thoughts on the subject. Do you want to dive into the audio away
Tom
first?
Tom Daly, American athlete, gave us a tour. Gave us a tour and a look at the famous card board beds that also come with a mattress as well. So
sure, it's not just cardboard.
You just get to sleep on cardboard.
Sleep on your box. Have fun. Yeah.
For those wondering about the cardboard beds in the village, I'm going to show you what they look like. This is cardboard. As you can see, it's like a box. Then you've got the mattress. And then these cardboard boxes here, like so, with the mattress on top and a mattress topper. And then we get our own little Paris 24.
A blanket.
And as you can see,
little duvet.
They're pretty sturdy.
So he's jumping on the bed.
Standing on it, yeah.
Yeah, so,
And so that's the first thing is that if people think, well, your frame is cardboard boxes, is it going to be enough to hold up a person sleeping? And he proves in this video that it is.
Right, and a lot of times at the Olympics, it's more than just one person in a bed.
And that's the argument that's made.
Because there's a lot of activity going on in the village.
Is this going to support more than one person? Mm-hmm. And apparently,
well, dude was jumping on it pretty good, so I think he's good.
I did get a kick out of the story that there were some runners that were talked to about this, and they said, well, you know what? Because runners tend to be pretty svelte.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you know what? The runners probably don't have as much to worry about as like the Right. The weightlifters.
Well, and I'm wondering, like, if, like, Team USA basketball, there's no chance they're staying in the Village, right? I mean, they're staying in a hotel.
Maybe.
Right?
Like, I don't know what the rules are on that.
I mean, do you have to stay in the athlete village if you're...
You would think for security purposes, they almost try to, you know, because you want to make sure everyone's safe and in the same place.
But I don't see, like, you know, like these big NBA stars.
Kyrie Irving, and I don't know if he's playing, but
sleeping on a cardboard bed.
Anthony Edwards, I know, is going.
In the Village, if you will.
Yeah.
So I wonder how that works. If there's
another option.
Class.
But at the same, like, who would be in that class beside, like...
Well, I would argue some of the gymnastics, too, but I don't know. I'm just saying that the basketball players already live in a, you know, like, most of the Olympic athletes don't live, like,
sure, some of them are a little
NBA
bit more
money, right?
Normal folk than, right. Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, you know, they're
that's a good question.
Apparently they can extend, speaking of the NBA players, they can add extra cardboard boxes for length.
Yeah.
So you can have, you can have... You know, like two cardboard boxes, three or four, depending on how tall you are.
Well, the thing is, they're modular. So you can, you know, if you're nice. You know, a taller individual, shorter individual, you're not wasting extra space.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Well, I'm glad that we debunked the myth that they're flimsy. I would be, if I saw those, I'd be disappointed to be like, what is this?
I might give it a shot.
I made it to the Olympic
It looks
games.
More comfortable than the 4 days I just spent in an RV. So, I mean, I will say it does look better than that. Because the mattress looks nice.
Sure.
Who cares what the support is?
Well, that's the important part. Is the mattress comfortable?
If the mattress comfortable or...
That's fair.
Who cares what the support is what it is.
That's a valid point. All right. Well, I appreciate that. And I guess we don't know. Do they have brand name mattresses? That's one thing we don't know. They didn't really address
a mattress sponsor? I'm sure they do.
Yeah,
I'm sure
you
they got
think
some
so.
Kind of mattress sponsor of some sort. Yeah. Or what the mattresses are made out of.
Some special thing. Well, maybe we'll find that
out. Off to research.
All right, dig into that. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. It's the Mix 108 Morning Brew. Mix 108 Morning Brew. Good morning and happy Wednesday. So, Tony, you just recently got back from a multi-day music festival.
Well, I was at Rockfest in Cadott, Wisconsin. I also did a little country jam.
This is true. So you kind of double dipped.
And Eau Claire. And I made an observation that I'd like to share a little bit of.
Okay.
That I mean, this has obviously been a thing for several years, but now to the point this year where I was like, my God, this is like, they're like another member of the band at this point, is like every band now, and this is rock and roll, country, top 40, it doesn't even matter anymore, has a photographer on stage.
Sure.
Has a videographer on stage, mm-hmm. has somebody with a cell phone on stage. Like they have three or four social media people on stage the entire concert running around, getting footage, getting this, getting that, running around like crazy, getting all these crazy shots.
Mm-hmm.
It's really crazy. It's just like they've become like another member of the band. And all of them do it these days. I wonder to what end. Like you don't see them, I mean, they're sharing... You know, 5-10 second clip on a reel or something like that. But there's so much content that these guys and gals are gathering.
But you get to choose
with it all.
The best of the best material, and you have a lot of backlog. So let's say you take some time off.
Yeah.
You know, you got a lot of video and photos to keep the crowd engaged.
Keep the crowd engaged, I guess. But how did they keep the crowd engaged for, you know, 30 years before this, you know? Why do we need all these people?
Tours.
I don't know.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is like...
It's all of a sudden this year. I mean, I've noticed them before. It's been a thing, but this year, it's gone from just maybe one photographer pop... You know, like a roadie that took pictures, basically.
Sure.
But now they're hiring like these... I don't know. I want to call them professional because I saw some of them work and they weren't very professional, but... but they're, you know... They're specifically hiring for this job now, and they go on tour with them.
Right.
Like when I was at the country jam, we were hanging out with an artist. We go on the bus, and like the guy, like their photo guy, like tours, like sleeps on the bus with them, mm-hmm. tours mm-hmm. with them. It's part of the 11 that sleep on the bus. I mean, they make a spot for this person.
Wow. Well, so I was going to say, so in some cases, do we know that it's not a... an influencer or somebody that they're associating with, that they're letting on stage?
No, I think 99.9% of the time it is straight up their own social media people that are on stage doing this thing.
And for people that are into that sort of stuff, like if your life goal, your dream is to make it big in the world of like content creation on that level, what, I mean, that's a good way to start.
I don't think that job pays well.
It doesn't. I
bet you it pays very little.
I was going to say, I wonder if some of these people are like interns.
Yeah, but or, you know, they're part of the entourage, if you will.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, like we'll bring you along to take pictures and video, that type of thing.
But I personally know people that would love that gig. They get to rub shoulders with somebody they're a fan of, and they get to be the person.
Yeah, but that'll
wear out
after a while. And it does.
And so there's probably a lot of churn there.
Yeah.
But I can think of two or three people that I personally know that would love that experience and that opportunity.
But it's almost a distraction sometimes, because there was a couple acts, you know, they have this, you know, beautiful stage set up and, you know, this aesthetic going on the stage.
You got other people running around.
And then
around.
You got like dude with a gimbal and a huge camera running across blocking the artist. It's like, well, bro.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's you're not wrong.
And they're just constantly in the way. A lot of times they even bring them out, make them a part of the show now. They'll just
I've not seen that before.
Oh, yeah. Like... Shinedown, maybe they performed at Rockfest. They literally like pointed the camera people towards the crowd. I mean, it's part of their bit, you know. You're part of, is your show, blah blah blah.
Sure.
I mean, that's another topic I could go off on too. Is the crowd pandering that happens these days is just over the top obnoxious. Over the top obnoxious.
You've got some thoughts, man.
I don't know.
The last couple shows,
I get it. You get the crowd pumped up.
Yeah.
But it's getting to the point where, like, let's say a band has an hour set. 10 years ago, they would have played 10 songs in that hour.
Right.
Now they're playing 6 or 7 songs during that hour and spending 5 minutes in between each song.
Interacting.
Let me hear this side. I can't hear you.
Sure.
You know, you need to sing for me or just, you know... This is your show. I don't know. It's just like, okay, just sing some music.
So, yeah, you paid good money. You want to see the music.
Just sing some music. Yeah, let's just play some music. But then I was watching another band, Chevelle, I think was a rock and roll band. And they didn't talk at all, really, between songs. They just played
music.
Straight
to the point business.
Yeah, and then they were giving me what I wanted. But then I was like, oh, this is kind of boring.
Well, see, you can't make you happy, can you?
Yeah.
So what's funny about that is...
It's like, okay, there has to be a happy medium that we can find where it's not over-the-top obnoxious of, like,
right.
Between every song, you spend 5 minutes to try to get the crowd to make as much noise as you can.
Sure.
And that happens every artist.
Yeah. When you got a festival, it probably becomes more apparent, though, because you're
really
seeing
does.
It over and over.
Yes.
Everybody's doing the same thing.
Absolutely. 100%. It's kind of an artifact of being at a festival like
that.
Yeah,
because I was thinking about the shows that I've been to over the last year have all been like opening act or acts and then headliner, and that's it. It's a one day, couple acts at most thing. And maybe the main act might do a little bit of that at best, but that's about the extent of it. I was actually at a small show a couple weeks ago or a month or so ago, June it was. What's funny was, so they played pretty much straight through. There was a little bit like between songs. Hey, you know, glad to be here. Thanks for coming out. That like, very short things, but there was actually one point where the guitar player had to go to the bathroom during the set.
Oh, that's funny.
And so guitar player takes guitar off, sprints off stage. The rest of the band's still playing and kind of making jokes and stuff, but they're not singing. They're just like kind of filling the time. Does his thing.
What do you got to do?
Comes back. And they continue the show.
The Bellamy Brothers?
No, it was not the Bellamy Brothers, but that would make sense.
I was going to say, well, age probably had a factor in that.
No, this was a younger act.
Oh, that's funny. I suppose it happens, though.
Little rock show down in the city. Well, then I started looking back through their Instagram, and I realized this is kind of a bit.
Oh, well, see, this is a thing, too. Now you're getting me going. Like, I almost, like, a lot of these shows have become, like, a lot of these shows have almost gone past the point of being, like, a concert.
Sure.
And it's almost like a Broadway production because it's so choreographed.
Sure.
And like, if you could take like 7 of like Shinedown's previous shows or name any, you know, any band.
Right.
And like smoosh them all together and you would probably see like the same motions, the same where they go. Everything is the same.
Sure.
Every show to show. Like Taylor Swift does.
Sure.
It's like a big Broadway production. That's not a concert. That's a Broadway. That's a production.
What if the entertainment value is good? If you only see one show.
Hey, the entertainment value is fine. I get it. But it almost becomes.
It doesn't feel organic is what you're saying.
Yeah, like I keep going back to Shinedown. But I've seen Shinedown,
poor Shinedown
three or four times before, right?
Sure.
And each time I see them, they become more and more like. I don't want to use the word robotic, but it's just become.
They've got a formula.
They got a formula. Okay. They follow the formula. It's clearly an act. Like things that seem spontaneous
aren't.
Probably aren't.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing, like you mentioned. Like so, they may do that bathroom break every show.
And so what's funny with that particular thing is it isn't specifically that same thing every time with that. It was actually like behind stage, and I got a little insight looking through their Instagram. They like. Will choose, you get to do something weird during this show, and then they kind of like dare them to do something. So it's a little more spontaneous.
Right, that's good.
So it's kind of fun. But if you're in on the bit, otherwise it's like, well, that's weird. They ran off and went to the bathroom during the concert.
Yeah.
So the question I have for you listening in your vehicle, at work, wherever you are right now is, have you run into this good, bad, any weird experiences, like, any weird thoughts?
What's your concert pet peeve? The one thing that's happening at concerts these days that you're just like,
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Could we do without this, maybe?
Sure.
Could we do without this part of the concert?
They're
spending a lot of money.
Exactly.
I mean, you spend a lot of money to go to these shows. A, you want to see the music. You want to see the artist. You know, you want to see some, you want to see some spontaneity, some fun. Like, I'm getting to see something that nobody else is getting to see. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Valid points. Let us know. 7-4-2
Get off my soapbox now.
Get us up at Mobile Lab. Tony's going to calm down here a little bit.
But there is this like hierarchy. Like there are people that are like Jared Leto's band, 30 Second to Mars. Like he's really good at that though. Like he excels that kind of. He's a showman.
Sure.
He's not a forced showman. Like some of these rock stars like force the showmanship. Like he's just a showman. Jelly Roll, kind of the same deal. Just a showman. You just kind of want to watch him. Do the thing. Yeah.
Sure.
He's not forcing it. It's just kind of there.
Interesting.
I don't know.
And there's Tony's takes.
Nobody's listening to
it. Good morning and happy Wednesday. It's a Mix 108 Morning Brew. Mix 108 Morning Brew. Good morning and happy Wednesday. Nick Cooper, Tony Hart, both with you. And so, gotten some feedback, Tony, about pet peeves at concerts from people. So, Alyssa on her Facebook page said, all the drinking at shows, it leads to sloppy and out of control, folks. Honestly.
Yeah, but that
depends on the.
You're not wrong. It depends on the artist, the show, the length of the show. But that's always been a thing, I think.
It has.
I mean, I remember, you know, when I was young, and that was a long time ago. That was a thing back then.
Yeah.
I was probably one of those sloppy, out of control people.
See, and here,
not so much anymore, but.
Here's the thing for me about that. Like, as long as you're not ruining my experience with your drunkenness, have fun. I don't care. You spent the money to be here, but I would personally feel guilty if I spent a bunch of money to go to a show.
This is the biggest thing these days is that what you bring up is that it costs so much money to go to some concerts. I want to remember it. Yeah. Like, I don't want to spend $1,000 to go see Taylor Swift, get bombed and not remember the show at all. Like,
exactly.
That's dumb. It's a waste of money. Carolyn mentions everybody holding up their phones recording. Now, yes, this is a thing. A lot of people do this.
This is not quite as bad as I have been at shows where somebody brought in an iPad. And they're using iPad.
I've seen that.
Oh, no. What are you doing?
That's a bad look. It's a really bad look.
Just in general, I understand it has a camera on it, but don't use it as a camera, please.
I try, when I go to shows, I'll bust out my camera, you know, a few times, grab a couple videos, maybe my favorite song or two.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, some people just hold it up the entire time. It's like,
and see, that's my rule of thumb is I'll get a couple of the songs I'm super excited to hear just as like a personal memory or maybe to share with a friend or to share on social media.
Yeah,
but not the whole concert.
A lot of people do that though.
But,
and it's also, unless it's right in front of your face, it really should, it's one of those things, like, it really doesn't affect your concert experience. Like, if you're in front of me recording, unless it's in front of my face, it shouldn't affect
hopefully
my
not.
Concert experience, right?
Well, unless you're, like, holding it up over your head, you're, like, ground level.
Yeah.
Then you're kind of, you know, arms and phone in front of your face.
a big thing too these days is the let's turn the lights on.
Yeah.
Back in the early days before we had smartphones, it was lighters.
Lighters, yep.
And you'd all have the one guy with the modified lighter that would like be a torch. And you'd see him like in the second row with like, oh my God, he's gonna blow up four people.
So the
Zach just says other people.
Yeah.
Really? Isn't that kind of the fun about going to concerts, though? It's kind of like
you're there, you're experiencing
a community of fans, and you're kind of having a good time with it.
Yeah.
Well, not for everyone,
I guess.
Zach just wants a private concert.
Yep.
Zach's like, give me a private show.
So you mentioned the flashlight lighter thing. Mm. The first handful of shows I've been to over the years where that was a thing, and it felt kind of organic. I was, this is kind of cool. It looks neat. But it seems like now almost everyone's trying to force it into their show because it does look cool, but it does feel forced now sometimes.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Going back to your previous point about, you know,
everything being
choreography
and like
things like that.
This is the point in the show when we do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? Here's our slow song. Here you go. Get your phone out.
Get your phone out. Let's light it up. It's amazing how bright, you know, 30,000 cell phone lights can get though.
For as tiny as they are, they light up a space in a hurry. It is amazing.
There's no doubt. Like, even outside at the festival, there was a couple times where artists did that. And we were sitting up towards the front. And it literally, like, lights up the entire stage. I'm like, geez.
Pretty wild.
It's crazy, yeah.
What is your concert pet peeve? You can join us on our Facebook conversation. Call us up 740-TO-MIX. A good little conversation. Especially as we continue through the summer concert festival season.
Off to Foo Fighters on Sunday night.
Oh, I'm so jealous. So jealous.
Jerk.
It's okay. I'm going to be on vacation. I'm going to be on a lake somewhere, but I'd still like to go see them too. So.
Yeah, okay.
Well, enjoy.
I'll send you some videos.
Please do.
I'll get a whole bunch of videos and send them to you.
Be that guy. I'll look forward to that. We'll see what's trending at the top in a couple of minutes here at Mix It Away. Good morning.
Live from the Mix 108 studio in downtown Duluth, this is KBMX-FM, Proctor, Duluth, Superior, a Town Square media station.
Oh, good morning and happy Wednesday, 8:05 and 60 degrees downtown Duluth right now at the Mix 108 studios. We'll see high today in the low 70s, mostly sunny conditions tomorrow. Sunny 80, Friday sunny 84, and then Saturday and Sunday gets near 90 in the Twin Ports area both days. 88 Saturday, 87 Sunday. There is a chance of seeing some thunderstorms and rain overnight. Sunday into Monday, could see some stuff pop up. Saturday night as well during the evening hours. Just be aware of that. But then we start a hot stretch next week. Looking at the forecast for the Twin Ports area all the way into the early part of next week. Mid to upper 80s. So if you like the heat, it's on the way.
Crank up the AC.
That's right.
The Deck announced it's welcoming one of the stars of MTV's hit series Jackass. The Deck announced the return of Steve-O for a live show at Symphony Hall and his brand of humor and stunts. Last time he was here was back in 2022 with his Bucket List tour. He will be here in November 12th, for another show at the Deck Symphony Hall, 7 o'clock showtime. Tickets go on sale. Pre-sale starts tomorrow. General ticket on sale goes on Friday if you want. Ticket prices range from $39.75 to $59.75. If you want a pre-sale code and start scoring tickets a little early starting tomorrow, you can hit up the Mix 108 app or at mix108.com.
Coming up later on this morning, we got some more feedback about annoying things or concert pet peeves we're getting in if you want to sound up.
Yeah, things you've noticed recently in concerts that maybe you haven't seen before a lot of. Like, share it with us.
Yeah, hit us up on our Facebook page or mobile app. Call us up, 740-TO-MIX. Also, got some... I find this entertaining. Some more Olympics news coming up here a little later on this morning that I find entertaining for some reason.
I can't get enough Olympics news, so bring it on!
We'll dive into that here in a little while. Music now for you from Dua Lipa and Mix It Away. Good morning. Mix What Away Morning Brew. Good morning and happy Wednesday. It's Nick Cooper and Tony Hart with you here. 60 degrees downtown Duluth right now at the Mix It Away Studios. So, getting more feedback on the concert pet peeves.
Mm-hmm.
Getting some people fired up this morning. One of the things that you might experience if you're buying tickets to a show that is at least, it's one thing if you're going to like a bar show, but if you're going to any sort of like relatively big show, you got to deal with buying them through like a Ticketmaster.
Oh, yes.
And Jessica says, even before going to show, the fees.
Yes, the fees can be quite annoying.
That's definitely a thing.
I mean, what are you going to do about it? That's the thing. Like,
well, the thing is, too, that often these days you're buying the tickets like a year and a half in advance.
Right.
So by the time the concert comes, you've gotten over that point. Do you know what I'm saying? Right. You're well over the point of being ticked off about the obnoxious fees.
Yeah.
Because it's been so long since you've bought the tickets.
You're just excited to get to the show at that point. You've forgotten about the fact you spent that much on fees. Yeah.
I bought these tickets 2 years ago.
So, this is an interesting one, and I have run into this shows at like the Symphony Hall. Mm. Marie says in an auditorium with seating and people want to stand up during the show, it is kind of awkward, especially depending on the type of show, because you're in a space where it's like the venue feels like it's catered towards sitting.
Yes, like seeing a show at like Symphony Hall, for instance, at the deck is very different than seeing the show at Amsoil Arena.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like in Amsoil, I feel it's more appropriate to stand up.
Right.
If it's that type of show. And
right.
Most of the shows that go to like an Amsoil are a stand-up type of concert.
Yeah. And everyone, I think most people expect that.
Yeah. But at like Symphony Hall, those shows are generally maybe stand up once in a while, but generally you're sitting down, I feel.
Sure. And so I to Maurice's point, the people that do feel the desire to want to stand up during the entire show can, because then you got to stand up and then the people behind you got to stand. It's a cascading effect.
It's a thing.
Yeah. That's understandable.
But I'm also not going to let somebody, like, if I want to stand up at a concert, I am going to stand up at a concert.
Sure.
There's that too. That's, like,
yeah.
I'm not concerned about the person behind me. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Does that kind of sound mean? Or I mean, I'm there too. Slightly. I bought a ticket.
Yeah. You, as long as you're not like.
And if I want to stand up and enjoy the show and dance or whatever, then I guess that's, I bought a ticket too.
Yeah. So. A lot of it is, it depends on the show too. Like, you're probably not going to stand up and dance around if it's
the three tenors or something.
Sure. Yeah, I was trying to think of a good example. Like, well, I know. So, like, an example.
Colby Calais.
Sure. Ben Folds is coming to town later on this year.
Yeah, perfect example. Or even like the Toad and Bare Naked Ladies. Like, this, I think that's a good example.
There are songs where you might stand up, but not the whole show.
Songs you might stand up to, but not the entire show. Like, I'm probably not going to stand during Toad the Wet Sprocket set, but there might be a couple songs of Bare Naked Ladies that I might stand up for.
All I want is to stand up during a show, man.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of... I know that was kind of a bad joke. So Sarah commented on her Facebook page with a picture, and it's just somebody who's really tall blocking her view.
That does suck.
Yeah.
And I mean, when everybody's standing up, we had a show where... everybody's standing up, or it's a GA and you're forced to stand up.
Right. And this looks like it was at a festival, an outdoor thing where everybody's just standing in a flat space.
I mean, thankfully you can kind of move around a little bit to try to get a better angle in those situations.
Get behind some shorter people.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a short person at a concert like that,
that's tough.
It's tough.
It's tough.
Yeah.
What is your concert pet peeve?
Yeah, there you go.
Platform boots.
Really some tall ones. Yeah.
Hit us up, 740-TO-MIX, on our mobile app. We're on Facebook. Good morning and happy Wednesday. It's a Mix 108 Morning Brew. Mix 108 Morning Brew, good morning and happy Wednesdays. This is kind of cool. Snoop Dogg is going to be one of the final torchbearers for the Olympic flame as it makes its way toward the Olympic Games. Which...
a lot of jokes I can make there.
Well, that's part of the... Yeah. So he's one of the... it's him... There's a French actress, a French rapper, and a retired Ukrainian pole vaulter that are the final torchbearers.
What a random group of people.
Isn't it? Yeah. As the torch makes its way toward the Olympic Games leading up to the grand opening ceremonies on Friday night.
I love that. He's also like commentating. Like he's doing a lot of commentating too, right?
I was digging into this earlier this year. NBC Sports put out a list of, they've got over 150 different commentators that are part of their broadcasts on their various networks that NBC Universal owns. So Snoop Dogg is going to be, beside, you know, bringing the flame in as a part of the opening ceremonies, he's also going to be on site during the segments for their primetime in Paris, nice, beginning on July 26th on both NBC and Peacock. So he's going to be providing takes on what's happening around town, exploring the city, landmarks.
Like the man on the street type
of thing. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's not the only...
human interest type of stuff.
Right. So some of the other people that are like non-sports anchors and reporters that are going to be part of this include... So it's Snoop Dogg, Kelly Clarkson, who's also going to be part of the opening ceremonies.
Okay.
You know, doing commentary during that. Jimmy Fallon, Peyton Manning, as well as Leslie Jones, and there's a whole pile of others, but they're all going to be doing various... like non-hard news stuff during the Olympic Games, which should be fun.
I see that Celine Dion got paid $2 million and she's going to sing one song at the opening ceremony.
Which is neat.
Good for her because like she's going through some struggles.
Pretty significant medical issues, yeah.
So I don't know if I've seen the word comeback, but I don't know that Celine Dion needs a comeback. I mean, I'm sure she'd still be doing her thing if it weren't for her health problems, right?
Like, exactly.
It's not like she, you know, chose to just...
Yeah, she didn't decide to just, you know, hang it up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
she was kind of forced.
That's cool that she's able to do that, and apparently you get a nice payday out of it, too.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do it...
Might as well get paid,
right?
Paid
for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the coverage gets going. Apparently, there is... a commercial-free like thing they're doing to kick off the Olympic Games. I was reading NBC's doing as a part of their kickoff to the coverage. But that all gets going on Friday. So, Tony, will you be watching the opening ceremonies? Does that excite you, or is it more the games itself?
I like them equally. Like the opening ceremonies are fun to watch.
Yeah,
I like the they always kind of generally push the bounds of entertainment and technology and stuff during them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of fun. And I like watching the
pageantry.
I like watching all the outfits. I got to be honest with you. Because every country comes in with different looks, different outfits, different things. And that's kind of fun, actually. I kind of like to see
the entire
world kind of come together, but all the different cultures and all that kind of thing walking through. It's kind of fun. It's kind of cool.
So I don't follow it very closely. Have we seen, because usually there's some sort of reveal about some of the things that the American Olympians are going to be wearing. Have you seen anything about that yet at all? Speaking of which.
Yeah. I've seen the outfit.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's Polo Ralph Lauren or whatever.
Okay.
Is he doing? Yeah, I think Ralph Lauren. Yeah, the whole collection has been put out, I've seen.
Okay.
You know, it looks like everything else. It looks like, you know, the colors are red, white, and blue.
Really? Good choice. Valid. Can appreciate that.
Remember that year they did like the hats, like the, what's those hats called?
Oh,
like a kangaroo type hat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And everybody needed those. Like this year, it's just basic, you know, they got, you know, sweaters. There's the jacket that they're going to come out
in. They look like they're going sailing in that.
Yep, they have like jeans. They have an opening ceremony jean this year. They're actually going to wear jeans.
That's
a nice looking jean.
I mean, it's nice,
a blazer.
Is that a little too casual for the Olympics?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. All right.
$400 jeans.
Jeez.
The Team USA opening ceremony blazer, which you can buy on RalphLauren.com right now.
Of course you can.
$998.
Woo!
The USA opening ceremony Oxford shirt, yes, from Polo Ralph Lauren, $325.
My goodness. I don't know if I need to sport that look nearly that much.
Good Lord.
But for the people that do.
I wonder if they get to keep this. I bet you they do, right?
You would think so. Little thank you for, so you know, representing your country.
The basic Team USA closing ceremony hat by Ralph Lauren. It's a basic hat.
So like a baseball cap?
Yeah, here's the hat right there. Here, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you the hat.
Okay.
I'm going to show you the hat without showing you the price.
Looks kind of like a NASCAR hat a little bit, doesn't it?
A little bit, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, baseball cap.
Basic baseball cap.
Sure.
It looks like it's nice quality, but, you know, nothing special.
So normally you buy a hat for somewhere between like $25 and $50.
$198.
What?
What?
I mean,
ball cap.
I mean, does it do anything fancy?
No, it doesn't. No, it's a ball cap, Nick. It doesn't have any LCD screens, any batteries.
It's not going to, like, keep you cool or not play music keep or anything?
You cool. It's not going to keep you warm. Huh. It's not going to kiss you. It's not going to do anything. It's just, it just is what it is. It's a hat. Huh. A $200 hat.
I'm a hat guy. Not wearing one today. I'm a hat guy, but I do not need that one.
I mean, it's not a great looking. I mean, the design, I wouldn't wear it.
It, like I said, it looks...
If somebody gave me this hat, I would not wear it.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a hat that I would wear.
Some of the other clothing is cool. But yeah, no. If you want to get the official Polo Ralph Lauren Olympic collection, brace yourself. It's, you know,
not cheap. Well, I will pass on that. But for those that will, thank you for supporting that.
Why doesn't like Massimo do it or something? I don't know why that brand came out.
I was trying to, what's the Walmart brand or something like that. Probably not going to fly.
Oh, Massimo's a Target brand.
Yeah, so that would be one.
That's
or,
fine. Not, yeah, a little Target brand.
Sure. Yeah. No, not going to happen.
Well, they should have like the poor people, the regular collection, but then they should have like the collection for us.
Sure.
The 98% of Americans who.
Yeah, not going to pay $200 for a hat. Good grief. Mix 108 Morning Brew, good morning and happy Wednesday. We've got Leah aboard from WDIO. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
Not much. I'm enjoying my Wednesday morning, halfway through the week, so.
Fantastic.
You know, we're ready for it's halftime, ready for the second half, and then it's the weekend. So.
Absolutely.
That's the mindset.
So earlier this morning, we were getting into a conversation about Tony, who was at a music festival over the last number
couple
of days.
Couple of them.
Yeah. And there were some things that he observed that he was like, this is, I don't know if I'm a big fan of certain elements of going to the concert experience nowadays.
Well, things have changed. Things have definitely changed. And I just bring up the both festivals because it was country and rock and roll. So this just isn't happening like in the rock and roll world or the country world, the pop world. One of the biggest things I talked about earlier was the amount of photographers and social media people that the bands these days have on stage with them.
Yeah. Yeah,
they have like, one guy always with the big camera and the gimbal. They have, one person with the cell phone shooting vertical video. They got one person shooting,
it's a whole production nowadays.
It is. It's a big thing. Yeah. They took out three roadies and brought three social media people instead these days. Yeah. It's crazy. Now, what are some of the other pet peeves out there? Nick, I know there's a couple more on our page.
We've gotten a bunch of comments in from listeners. A lot of people commenting about the people that feel the need to document the entire concert on their phone.
Yeah.
Recording the whole thing.
The filming and the photos. I think to a point it's fine, but if it's every song, like, you're not going to rewatch it. You already paid for the ticket to see it.
I've seen people that have shared memes that have asked the question, who's watching the entire concert you recorded?
Yeah.
Exactly. And it takes away from it because you're not fully paying attention.
You're not in it. Exactly. You paid good money to be there.
Yeah.
Some of the other ones are like if you're in a venue where you're all standing, like kind of GA ground level at a festival and you're short, that can be kind of,
annoying.
Yeah. And same thing for tall people. They know that's hard because it's like they can't change it on the fly.
Right.
Just because of how it is. But
yeah, they're not going to crouch the entire time.
Stadium seats in that case. I'm only 5'5", but still, it's hard to be craning your neck up the whole time to try and see and on your tiptoes.
Right, for sure. So any things that come to mind for you that stand out as something that you're just like, I don't know, but this is the best.
I don't love it when they make you wait. You know what I'm saying? Like when the openers go and then there's a big gap. I don't like the lulls at concerts. I think it hurts the energy in the crowd. So I've been to some concerts where they had like DJs in between, which was kind of nice because it built up the hype and excitement. But when you have the opener and then it goes to nothing while they're changing the stage around, and it takes, you know, at least sometimes it's, I sat for like 45 minutes between them, and it's like, it does kind of bring the energy back down. So it defeats the whole point of having opening acts, in my opinion.
And, you know, I think I've noticed this over the last 20 years too. Like, there used to be a time when you'd have opener pretty quick, and then it would be a question mark to when the headlining act would come on.
Sure.
Like, mm-hmm. back in the day, like, you could wait an hour and a half.
Sure.
From the last opening act to the headlining act, where I feel like these days they kind of, like, control the time a little bit better. Like, you know, the band isn't backstage getting drunk before the show, like, back in the
80s. Yeah, I'd like to say that. I think there's they're a little bit better about that, because I do know there have been concerts in the past where people did wait an hour and an hour and a half, but I don't think I could do that nowadays.
Like, Madonna was, like, she's notorious for this, where, you know, you could wait an hour and a half, maybe up to 3 hours for her to hit the stage whenever she felt it. But people these days we're not down with that. Like, we all got stuff to do. I don't want to sit here and do nothing for 3 hours and wait for you to come to stage, no matter who you are.
Yes.
Let's get it on.
Agreed.
Let's play, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other concert. I've been in, like, nosebleeds for some concerts, and then sometimes, like, the lighting effects is, like, too much up there because you're, like, too close to some of that.
Oh, you're hitting the face with lights.
I've had that experience where it's almost like, oh, it's a little bit epileptic, but otherwise, I don't really have too much to complain about.
Well, that's
I just
good.
Like to sing and dance.
You're at a concert and the guy next to you lights a big J and you're like, dude, I'm smart! I can't breathe here.
Pass me that thing.
I'm always shocked when people do it at indoor arenas. Like,
that's
always a big shock.
Yeah.
If anything, the price of stuff when you get in there. Why is merch so expensive?
Everything's so expensive. It's true.
Well, at least you said, you know, you've got a few things, but the list is not long, so that's good. You can at least still enjoy the show. That's good news.
Yes, that's the whole point. I paid to go anyway.
Exactly. So let's quickly talk about the rest of the week's forecast. Today looking really nice. We're going to start seeing some heat coming back from the sound of it.
Yes, we got some high pressure moving in, so some brighter sunny days ahead. So we'll be definitely warming up through the weekend and getting into those upper 80s. For the most part, we'll see a break of some showers across most of northwestern Minnesota on Saturday, and then some more widespread rain for Sunday evening into Monday. But nothing is looking to be a washout. No potential for severe weather at this moment. Just some heat as we get gear up for the rest of the work week, and that'll last. Some sunshine will last into our weekend. So similar to last week, kind of a copy paste with the storms already done. Warm weather ahead.
All right. Well, you know what? Summertime is certainly still happening. It's alive and well in the Northland, so get out and enjoy it while you can.
Agreed.
All right. Well, you have yourself a good Wednesday, and we'll chat again tomorrow.
Yeah. See you guys tomorrow. All right. Have a good night. Afternoon.
Coming up here a little bit, we're going to kick off your workday 108 minutes commercial-free that includes music for you from Luke Combs, Sabrina Carpenter, and more of the Northland's number one hit music mix, all here on Mix It 08. Good morning.